the world has changed. Even in my short lifetime, well, shortish, there have been seismic shifts in the way people think and act. The tectonic plates grind and shudder, scrape and squeal as attitudes, values, standards, priorities shift and slide, and we stutter our way past postmodern into post-postmodern, as they call it. The characteristics of these sweeping and dramatic alterations to the social landscape are well documented, and we see them all around us. There has been a move away from biddable obedience to authority, to a distaste for authority, in whatever shape it appears. Why should I listen to what you tell me? Still less do what you tell me. Don't preach at me. Whether it's respect for head teachers, doctors, police, or ministers, the old certainties are gone. And no one gets listened to just because of who they are, the uniform they wear, the stars and stripes of authority. And that is an expression of the individualism that is the recurring culture of our days. I will do what suits me when it suits me. Community obligations, suffering inexorable erosion, a sense of common responsibility sidelined by people, so many living for themselves. That's why you join a gym, because you can come there when you want to and you can do what you want or not go. It's up to you. Speak to no one. You're in your bubble. You're in your bubble. But given that trend, it risks making notions of belonging to a church family, responsibility for our neighbour, having open doors and shared lives, those notions become redundant and alien. And with that comes what is nowadays called a pick-and-mix morality, which means you can get all hot and bothered about saving the whale and being a vegetarian, but that's a different moral box from how you organise your sex life or whether you take illegal drugs or you're nasty to your parents. Morality that you choose when it suits your agenda and discard when it doesn't. Idealism struggles to survive in such a culture. Who are our heroes and heroines? Where are the politicians who inspire trust? In a time when the media is brutal in its exposure of those who don't measure up, there is nowhere to hide our warts and wobbles, and the cynicism this breeds makes for a world suspicious of anyone who dares lay claim to the moral high ground. We find our heroes have feet of clay and our heroines. And the kind of naive idealism that bolstered up the 60s is long buried under a mountain of scandals and venality. So that when the church reaches out to that aspiration in everyone, we often find it has become coated and crusted with cynicism and incredulity. And when enthusiasm and celebration dare to be part of the Christian package, these are viewed by a jaundiced world with a kind of pitying look often kept for a slightly eccentric old aunt. Another major element in the way we live today is the distrust of centralisation and bureaucracy. And of course, the church at large suffers from a surfeit of that. When local is precious and good and identity to be that national or tribal is jealously guarded, a church that seems like a giant corporation, unwieldy and monolithic, is hardly going to be in tune with the mood of the moment. That dreaded notion of dues paid to central church funds, these are hardly going to inspire zeal when the littlest nation or nationality is prepared to go to the stake in order to preserve its precious, unique features, its rights to self-determination, the lumbering world church, with its painfully slow response times to a changing world, seems oddly anachronistic and spent. Add to that the clear dislike in post-postmodern Western culture for tradition and traditional ways. And you see how different the world is from the post-war period when people were comforted by the familiar and found strength in traditional ways and means. This has been eclipsed by the hunger for and the declared preference for the new, the latest, the fashionable, the trendy, the now. all terms devised to stress that each generation wants to find its own style, make its own statement. And given that the gaps between the generations are now so short and narrow, that means that the 15-year-old finds what the 20-year-olds do so yesterday, hardly realising that to the 12-year-old coming up fast on the inside lane, what the 15-year-old gets excited about is so last week. And when that is combined with the openly expressed preference for the short term over against the long term, we see the world is moving fast. It must be a terrible time to be an insurance salesman or woman. Who cares about when you're 64? Who thinks that far ahead? Who expects to make it to that? Still less wants to make it. Much better to burn out than to rust out. Tomorrow never comes. And that mindset is expressed in a willingness to live dangerously, indeed recklessly. There is only now, and if that means permanence is a meaningless concept, so be it. A series of relationships will replace one for life. For who knows what life means in that old sense? No point in saving for the future. Pensions are all rubbish anyway. Spend it now. Live it here. Live it now. Hope I die before I get old. It's in the world of ideas that we see the most radical changes. There was a time when people believed that truth was absolute, that there were certain values and ideals that were non-negotiable and stood regardless of time and space. Some things were just right and some things were just wrong. And people were okay about that. You knew where you stood. There were some certainties. In post-postmodern thinking, however, that has changed. And instead of truth being absolute, it's now relative. What one person believes to be true is just as valid and worthy as what another person believes, even if they are opposite ideas. Who am I to tell you that you're wrong? And certainly, by the way, who are you to dare to tell me that I am wrong? Under the guise of tolerance, this has become a politically correct creed. But it has also become a justification for some pretty woolly thinking. For not everyone's opinion is as worth hearing as everyone else's. Not all ideas, interpretations of life, moral standards are equally good, true, helpful. In fact, when it comes to ideas, some people are right and some people are wrong. And no amount of political correctness can change that. Sectarianism is wrong. Dress it up how you like. Racial prejudice is wrong. Compassion is better than indifference. What one person says, though they have every right to say it, can be challenged, questioned, and refuted without arrogance or intolerance, just clear thinking. But there's rather less of that around than we might think or like. Another demonstration of the fact that we live in post-postmodern times is that people of the 21st century mindset, in general, though there are exceptions, are much happier with informality than formality. Not much switched on by pomp and ceremony. They're just as likely to arrive at the restaurant in jeans and a sweater than to get all dressed up. They like casual. They prefer to be at their ease, which is a pressure on those institutions that thrive on the promotion of pomp and circumstance. The law courts, the monarchy, the church find it hard to chime in with the sound of the age and are always in danger of becoming irrelevant as the world around them changes and they are incapable of responding quickly enough to the new mood, the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age that we've all been touched by to some degree or another, all bought into, maybe without knowing it. However, one of the most disturbing signs of the times, indicators of the lifestyle of post-postmodern man or woman, is what might loosely be termed commitment phobia. This expresses the reluctance of many people in our society to be tied down, committed to anything or to anyone. It's reflected in a loosening of loyalty in the workplace. People are more ready to change, to move on, to try somewhere new, than to stay. happens in relationships and community involvement. Don't ask me. Don't give me obligations. Let me set my own agenda. Don't expect me to turn up every Wednesday. Don't expect me to be there every time. I like to keep my options open. Maybe I will, perhaps, if I feel like it. This is new. Time was, people took pleasure in belonging. That kind of commitment was part of the fun. You knew where you were going to be on a Wednesday night and who was going to be there with you because everybody turned up. But that's no longer the case. Which makes for a huge problem when it comes to caring. Relationships need consistency, stability, reliability. No room for whim where caring is involved. Compassion is 24/7, whether it's for a child or a spouse or an aged relative. It's not about what I feel when I feel like it. And also, making things happen means turning up, being on time, delivering, being prepared, being on top of your brief. It's hugely impressive and commendable to see those who do make things happen, who do deliver, often at their own inconvenience. For as someone said, the world is run by people who turn up. The traditional vows of membership that speak about dedicating our time, our talent and our money to the work of the kingdom leave no room for negotiation. It's commitment to these by so many people that means the impossible becomes possible. Not convenient, but possible. Loyal membership, committed membership makes things happen. And sometimes commitment is about a duty, fulfilling a duty and doing it well. And because of that commitment, you change lives. When we ask the question, what's going to happen here in this situation if I don't deliver? Who will be missed out? Who will be left to get on with it on their own till they're burnt out? You know all this already. And you do it. You care with real commitment. And you do it. And because you do, and wherever you do it, it means the work of Christ's kingdom is being done. We don't put our hand to the plough and keep looking back to find something easier. We plough on, faithful, committed, building the kingdom.